Whereas if I say, I will give the shir tomorrow morning on this subject, yeah, that's a shvur.
And this car, would you put the car?
Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Wednesday, 5th of Tishri, 20th of September. Rabbi Daniel Yaakov Travis Schlita, what is Vidui all about? This is Torah way sponsored in Nishmas Moras Golda Basar Rabbi Huda Leibish Olim HaSholom. The Ziyad site is on Friday.
It's a big honor to be here. It's really such a great concept to start the day the Torah way. What other way could you start the day? I want to tell you a story that happened to me this morning. I was by some wonderful hosts. And they have an interesting lock on the door. It locks up and there was a chain on the door. And they said it's very easy, just take the chain off and you'll let yourself out. It was Nate's, before Nate's, and I was trying to get out. And I couldn't get the chain off the door. It was like I was chained inside the house. I tried and it was just, the door was chained closed. And I doubted to Hashem, I said, please help me get out of this house. I'm going to daven Nates. I'm going to go to Slichos daven Nates. In any event, after my tefillah, I noticed a little tiny strip in the middle of the chain. Like a tiny strip. And I realized that you could take that strip and pull the chain out, and you get out. And I said, Hashem must be telling me something. There must be some reason this is happening. And I realized this is what tshuva is really all about. You know, we're all a little bit chained. We're chained to our averas, we're chained to our habits, we're chained to the things that we do, especially lashon hara. The Vilna Gaon writes that every time a person does an avera, especially lashon hara, you create a malach. And that malach is not satisfied until you did the avera again and again and again and again. It makes you like starving to do the avera. The same thing with a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah, it makes you really hungry to do more mitzvahs, and it pushes you. And this is the idea of mitzvah gor mitzvah and avera gor avera. We're really chained to our bad actions and our bad habits and everything that we do which is not with Hashem's blessing. And how do we get out? So this little tiny chain, that's the secret. The secret is to find that little tiny hole. Right? And this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Olam hazeh is like a hay. Right? You know, I see the letter hay, just for those of us to make this visual, right? You have a letter hay here, right? Hay. So you have a big way to fall out and a little tiny way to come in. And that's the little chain. The secret of tshuva is to find that little tiny hole, that little tiny piece of the chain to let you out. And then you could come in, back in, and really do tshuva, because tshuva is returning to Hashem. This is the way we could really come back to Hashem and properly serve Him the way we're meant to be. So I want to tell you a little idea that I had about Vidui about 20 years ago. I've been working on this for about 20 years. And I hope that this could be the little chain for you. Because as I write in the Hakdama to this book, Praying with Joy 3, which is about Vidui, is, you know, there's a number of Inuyim on Yom Kippur. Afflictions. There's not eating, not drinking. And some people think one of the Inuyim is Teng Vidui, right? And especially the banging, you know? I know a guy, like, he banged so much, he had black and blue marks afterwards, you know? And it doesn't really help your averas if you bang. You should do it lightly. But the Vidui, it's very hard to say Vidui 10 times, like Yom Kippur. Especially if you've already said it 9 times, like, Shem, what do you want from me? I said already, you know, Al-Khayt, another time and another time and another time. It's very hard to say Al-Khayt, to say the Vidui so many times. So something I discovered about, I said about 20 years ago, and I've been working on it since, is that if you look at the Vidui, you look at the Nusach HaVidui, for every Avera, there's two letters. For every letter, there's two, a sample Averas. And I'll give you just an example here. We say, Al Shechet Shechatan Lefanecha B'bli Das, V'al Chet Shechatan Lefanecha B'bitoy Sosayim. On the transgression I did without thinking, right? And the transgression I did because of speaking, B'bitoy Sosayim. Now, we can understand B'bitoy is just what they call it, a confession. I was once on a plane with a non-Jewish doctor of religion, and I said, you know, your religion has absolutely no responsibility. You just go confess and it's all finished. He said, no. I was giant, but he just kept saying the same thing over. Where's your Kabbalah lesson? Where's your change? Right? And he couldn't answer me. Right? We say vidui, but where's the Kabbalah lesson? We know real tshuva has four parts, right? Or three, at least three parts. There's the vidui, okay, that you do, charata. You should feel bad as you're doing. But you need a Kabbalah lesson. You need to change, right? You need to have somehow, as you're saying vidui, there needs to be some sort of mahalach, some sort of way that I'm going to be different next year. I'm not just going to come to the next Yom Kippur and do the same things over again, right? Which would, it seems like we're going from year to year to year and just repeating the same errors. And that's what I think. The vidui is not just coming to give you, not just coming to admit, to confess, but it's also coming to help you uproot your avers. Why? Because why do we speak Lashon Hara? Does anyone know? I told you one reason, because the Gaon says, the Vilna Gaon says, because every time we say a word of Lashon Hara, it creates a malach, which pushes us to say more. That's true. But there's another reason. Anyone have any suggestions? Why do we speak Lashon Hara? What? Why not?
Okay.
Why do we speak Lashon Hara? If you know, the Chafetz Chaim wrote, it could be 31 Averis. 17 Lavin, 14. You know, if someone put out an assortment of ham and shrimp, you know, and every single 31 types of tray food and put it out here, nobody would touch it. But Lashon Hara. What?
If you denigrate somebody else, you uplift yourself.
Oh, that's a good reason. That's very good. Yeah,
well, to cover your own food.
What?
To cover your own food.
That's very good. It says, call a posel, bamumo posel. Right? The person really has it himself. Right? You know, the other guy, yeah, yenim, right? Yenim. Okay. But I think these are all good answers. But it's going to be hard for me to change based on that. You know what? Every time you speak Lashon Hara, it's because you're bad. Okay, I'm sorry. But how do I change? So how do I stop speaking Lashon Hara? Well, my son was in a certain yeshiva and he was having trouble getting charuza. I said, why? Because the guy I want to learn with, he's on a tiny Dibur. There's only 5 minutes a day he speaks between 9 and 9:05 p.m. And, you know, I'm eating supper then. So, okay, you could be on a tiny Dibur all day long, or maybe put a gag around your mouth or something, tie your lips closed. So the Ramban says how we could do it. In the Egeres Ramban, which is really worthwhile thing to read, especially in these days, and it says, when you read the Egeres Ramban, your tefillos will be answered that day. It's brought to school. It says, on the day you read this, your tefillos will be answered. It's really worthwhile to read that Egeres Ramban. One of the things he says is before you say something, think about it. Yeah? Think about it. Think what you're going to say. Right? I was once at a shiva. It was actually in Har Nof. We had a massacre almost 10 years ago. And five very chashviyadin were killed. I put out a little book about it. And one of them was Ari Kapinski. 2 years before this happened, he was sitting shiva for his daughter who passed away, 14-year-old daughter who passed away in her sleep. And someone came up to him and made the following statement. He said, you have other children, why don't you just get on with life? Oh. And I was like, how can you say that? He said, you have other children, why don't you just get on with life? And I was like, this is the most insensitive statement I ever think. And this guy's not a bad guy. You know, he's a nice guy. He shuckles when he davens, you know, and he buys maftir on Yom Kippur. You know, he's a good guy. But what's his problem, right? He just doesn't think, like, there's like gray matter, you know, if you do an x-ray and there's like some gray, I hope. Just not think. That's what Ramban says. If you think before you speak, as Rabbi Dr. Avram Torsky, of blessed memory, used to say, he said, how do you feel like at the other end of such brilliant consolation? You know, your child just died and you say, why don't you just move on with life? You know? So we have to think. Okay, that's an extreme case. But anytime you're speaking to somebody, you know, I was in shul this morning, and somebody said Shalom Aleichem to me. And I told him, I said, I have this little kundris on a video they wrote. Maybe interested? He said, no, I'm not interested. Okay, look, he could be, he's telling me the truth, you know. But I want to tell you a secret. As somebody writes books, I've written 30 books, and Rez Hashem, I should be able to put out more. I got a little bit addicted to it. And when you write a book, you put your whole neshama into it, right? If you offer it to someone, you can say, wow, that's such an amazing thing. Either the best thing is to take it, even if you don't need it. You know, but if you don't want to buy, you don't have it. Say, wow, it looks so amazing. I have so many books. I can't, or something. Just say some positive words, right? Make the guy feel good. Don't say I don't need it. It's completely superfluous. It won't add anything to my life. That makes me feel like a piece of garbage, you know? Not, I didn't, but I'm just saying it could. So the thing is like this, but think. Just think. Think if I was in this person's shoes, and I was, how would I want someone to talk to me? Right? And that's what the Vidi is coming to do. It's coming to get to the shurish of the chait. Vidi is not just about charata and confession, Vidi. It's also about looking deep inside yourself and trying to find the where is it coming from, you know? Where is the source of this avera? And that's what you see from here. Beit Sayyid Bli Das. Okay. I'm just randomly opening up to another page. Oh, this is a good one. Lashon Hara and Lutzen. Many of the vidois are about, but Lashon Hara and Lutzen, another two. Now, by the way, in case you think like these are the only two averas that start with Bezer Lamed, in the end, I don't have any copies. I sold out. But in my there's a vidui from the Chidoa. For every letter, he brings like 20, 30 averas. So it wasn't Bakroy. It wasn't just coincidentally they picked these two, Lutzen and Lashon Hara. Right? There's lots of averas that bring with Lama, just all the Lota says, right? Lo, there's whatever, 365, right? So the point is like this. The point is that, again, what's the root of Lashon Hara? So we said, first of all, it's not thinking, right? That's one aspect to it. A bitoy svasayim. By the way, bitoy svasayim means an explosion of the lips. Sometimes, like, you have this really juicy piece of Lashon Hara, you just have to tell everyone how stupid this guy is, you know, or this. Because it's not that you want to insult the person. It's for the sake of the truth. You want everyone to know, like, what's really going on. Right? It's for, what's it called? It's for, how do they call that? Practical reasons, you know, pragmatic reasons. So, that's one. But, so that's bitoy. The way to stop an explosion of lips is to think. But there's another thing we could do. Right, Lashon Hara, right? Lutzen. What's the difference between Lashon Hara and Leitzanus? Right? Leitzanus is making fun of someone, putting them down. It's not necessarily Lashon Hara. You know, it could be making a joke about somebody, putting them down, you know, belittling them, something like that. And the key to speaking positively about people, right, is to find their positive attributes and to think about them. And that's the opposite of Leitzanus. Leitzanus is making light of somebody and godless autumn, greatness, that I have two close colleagues, and whenever they see me, they're like they met their long-lost brother. They're so happy to see me. And I asked them once, like, what's your secret? How do you do that? They said they're both Talmidim of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said like this. He said, if you have somebody you're close to, a parent, a child, a friend, a charusa, a colleague, think about one mita that they have, which is special, which other people don't have. Maybe they're big Bali Chesed. Maybe they're big masmidim, maybe they have, you know, maybe they're generous, whatever it might be, yeah? And when you see the person, you think of that mita, you'll be, oh, I'm happy to meet a Baal Maila. I'm happy to meet somebody who's a Gavur Rabban, an Ish Chashuv, somebody who's a very distinguished person, right? And that's the makor of Lashon Hara, is thinking bad about people. It's a pasuk, and I discovered it this year, Rosh Hashanah, right? I don't have a sitter here. It's a sitter, right? I spoke 2 days ago in Manchester with 300 girls, and I asked them a question. No one had the answer. Maybe you have the answer. Yeah, it's a question that's bothering me for years. Does anybody know what Yerushalayim is? What's Yerushalayim? Does that mean like, there's a word in Israel, Charedim, you know? Anybody religious is Charedim? Like, it's like shaking, and maybe like when you dive and you shake, but like, what's Yerushalayim? Does it mean like I'm afraid to do an aver? Like, what's Yerushalayim? Anybody know?
Fear of consequences.
What?
Fear of.
Oh, that's good. But that's Yerushalayim Onish. That's good. It's a high madrega. But there's an even higher madrega than fear of consequences. It's true. Yerushalayim, you know, I don't want to get. The Rambam actually writes in Perek Yud, Hillel's Tshuva. He said that level is for children. Right? Children, you tell them, right, you know, if you do an Avera, you're going to get like a terrible punishment. And if you do mitzvahs, you're going to get a bag of candies.
Depends on the context. It comes twice in Chodesh, Brichas HaChodesh. It comes twice, and it means slightly different things within the same character.
Oh, so what does it mean, Yerushalayim?
One could be within one. Quincy Diner and Troy, he would say one was within the family, one would be outside the house.
But I'm asking, okay, I hear those are where it's applicable, but I'm asking, what is it? What's your Shemayim? You know, it always bothered me. I don't feel afraid about doing an Avera. Maybe the Brisker Rav, they said, used to walk around with Gehenim under his feet. Right? Mm-hmm. There's a picture of the Brisker Rav before Matzahs and after Matzahs. Before Matzahs, like this. And after Matzahs, like, he looked calm. You know? That is that, what?
I couldn't take that picture on Yom Tov.
It was making Matzahs, not eating Matzahs. Making the Matzahs, you know. You ever been to a Brisker Chabura? I mean, it's almost like a hospital setting, like sterilizes, and everything has to be this and this and this, you know, and it costs like $200 a kilo, and it's like this burnt month. Yeah. So what's your...
Consequences aren't necessarily punishment. Consequences are losing your connection with Shemayim.
That's good. That's very good. Actually, we're saying the same thing, but let me just explain a little bit more, because I found this Metzia, and it's something we say every week in davening, right? For those of us who say Pesukei Dezimra. My Rebbe Reb Revda was like, he said, you know, there's 57 pages here before Baruch. You know about those pages? Like Korbanos, Zichrona Levracha, and then you have Pesukei Dezimra, you know. Yeshiva Bacher told me, I was Mashkiach a little while in Yeshiva, by Rav Sikor Shalevsky, he said, you know, you could be Yotzi with two Pesukei and Pesukei Dezimra and get there a minute before Baruch and put on my tefillin, two Pesukei, maybe three, right? You know, anyway, but they said in Kelm, they used to dive in on Shabbos 45 minutes. 45 minutes during the week. Pesukei Dezimra. He said on Shabbos they would also dive in 45 minutes because you have to dive in fast sometimes. Right? That was how they said Pesukei Dezimra in Kelm. I read Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's biography. We say in Kapitel Lamed Dalet L'David Shansos Tamo. Right. So it says here. It says here like this. L'chu banim, listen, my children. Shimeli, listen to me. Yiras Hashem, Alam Dechem. I'm going to teach you what Yiras Shemayim is. And then he says, Mi Yishachov Etzchayim, Oiv Yomim, Liros Tov. Who is the one who desires life to see good? Netzor L'shon Chamira, Svesech Midav Mirma, Sumira V'yasi Tov, Bakei Shalom Redfeim. It sounds like if you read this psukim quickly, the Yiras Shemayim is not speaking Lashon Hara. It seems like there must be more than that. As what's your name?
Ami Chaim.
Chaim. As Chaim was saying, there must be more than that. The chat, I think, is like this. Right? And this, I think, can be very helpful. This is what I'm really saying. Right? Yiras Shemayim is seeing good. That's what Yiras Shemayim is. Right? Making the right choices. Like you're saying, consequence. Being aware of what's good and what's bad. What stops us? A person's about to speak Lashon Hara. Why do they do it? You know, it's like taking your wet hands and sticking into electric socket. People don't do that because that's stupid. Lashon Hara is worse than that. Yeah? Why do people do it? Because they don't see the bad in it. And this is what David HaMelech is coming to say, tell us. Yeah? Mi Yishachov Etzchayim, Oiv Yomim, Liros Tov. You have to see what's good and bad. Speaking Lashon Hara distorts your perception of what's good and bad. Lashon Hara and Sheker, and that's why the first thing we say when we finish Shmoneh Esrei is Elokai Netzor L'Shon Tzvira, Svesechem Medar B'Mirma. Because speaking Lashon Hara and Sheker, it distorts your perception of what's good and bad. I was once Shabbos by Rav Shimshon Pinkus's house. So that's how. And his clock was smashed. Smashed, I don't mean drunk. In English, smashed means drunk, right? It was broken. Yeah. Oh, smashing, no? Okay, I'm American. I don't know these things. But his clock was broken. And I asked him, how did it get broken? He said, two Shabbos ago, my son took the plate of food and he threw it at the clock and broke it. I said, really? So how did the Rav react to that? He said, I did nothing. Boys will be boys. You know, the Brisker Rav was called the matzah. He was called Velvel because he used to go under the table and bite people's feet. Right? He was called Velvel is the wolf. Right? He came out of right. And the Rav Chaim bought him like plates. He would take them and throw them off the roof and break them. Because kids need to get out of their energy. He said, I only punish for one thing, Lashon Hara and Sheker. Because that distorts your perception of reality. That was the Vilna Gaon Shita. It distorts your perception of reality, what's good and bad. Yiras Shemayim is seeing what God wants in the world. Seeing life through the eyes of Hashem's will. And that's what David HaMelech is saying. Mi Yishachov Etzchayim, Oiv Yomim, Liros Tov. How do you see what's good and bad? Right? The Eitz Das, Tov Ra. Netzor L'Shon Chora, Svesechem Mitav Mirma. Don't speak Lashon Hara and Sheker. And then, Sumei Rav, Asitov, Bokei Shalom Fetov. You'll do the right thing. Because you'll know. It's so stupid to speak Lashon Hara. I should be over so many lavin, and yet we seem to do it over and over again. Because We forget. We have a temporary lapse in our thing. Like we said, blidas, we forget. So that's it. We have to train ourselves to see good, to see what the good of Hashem in the world is. And their techniques are doing that. And with people, one way to do it, right, is to think about what you're going to say. And another way to do it is to amplify the greatness of every Jew. You know, there's a famous story about Shlomo Zalman Orbach that his wife, Slavaya, he said, I'm not going to ask forgiveness because in 50 years we never had a fight. Right? So I once heard from Rav Dan Segel, he said, like, how did he do that? So he said, when he would speak to his wife, he felt he was speaking to the Shekhinah. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And it's true. The Sfarim say that the Shekhinah manifests itself to your wife. He would go in the house, he would like brush up his hat. They asked him, like, why are you brushing your hat? He says, because the Shekhinah is in my house. I have Shalom Bayis. So when you feel, and when you see the Selam Elohim in a person, that's how you won't say Lashon Hara about them. Right? You don't say Lashon Hara about God. And that's Al-Chit Shekhinah Lefanecha B'Latzen U'B'Lashon Hara. The Shurish of Lashon Hara is Latzen. And there's many more. I'll just give you a good example here from the Chavetz Chaim. Al-Chit Shekhinah Lefanecha Masu Matin Al-Chit Shekhinah Lefanecha B'Machlo Mishta. The Chavetz Chaim writes in Sfas Tamim, chapter 5, he says the source of most monetary transgression is desire for physical pleasure and luxuries, you know. You want to go on this like super vacation or go to this super restaurant. I had an aunt who lives in Manhattan. She took me to the fanciest kosher restaurant in Manhattan. It was like blue light and this and everything. And everything was $200 a plate. You know? Okay. I didn't think it was so special. But people like spend money on these things because of the ambiance, right? The ambiance. But a person realizes that why should I steal? The Chavetz Chaim said, if a person steals, he's going to come back to this world as a horse. I used to tell this to my children. I said, no, I don't want to be a horse. Come back as a horse. You have to work off your debt that you stole. So, Al-Chit Shechatan L'Fanecha B'Mach L'Mishta, right? Val-Chit Shechatan L'Fanecha B'Mas O'Matan, right? That the desire for physical luxuries is behind my business inconsistencies, right? As I once, someone told me, I won't mention what city it was, I won't mention it was New York, oh, I'm sorry, that he said, the minhag in New York, but in the clothing industry, is it 51% cotton, you're at 100% cotton. I said, that's so krum. You're Rubel Gekuloi, you know? Okay, you have to see Rav Chaim, he says, when you could say Rubel Gekuloi on something, but you can't write. No, that's the minhag, you know? So people buy something, 100% cotton means 51%. I said, that's like krum. Okay, but that's what happens. Because money is, it can, a shochad, even, it's mavre ene chamim, so you have to be careful. Right? You have to be careful about that. Et cetera, et cetera. So we're only 5 minutes left here. But you go through the vidui, and you don't have to accept my explanations. I have some of these pamphlets, whoever wants them. I made some. And I have some books here. Let's see what I have here today. I have this Praying with Joy. I want to tell you about Praying with Joy. Is my wife and I, when we got married, we had tremendous yisurim in the first year. And I went to many, many rabbanim, and I asked them for etzahs, each one gave me etzah, until I came to Shlomo Brev, the Zatzal. I spoke to him many times. He said, finally I said, Rebbe, I can't take anymore. Every week, like a new, twice I'm almost killed, and a fire, meningitis, pneumonia, we bought an apartment, we lost our money on it, and this, and this, and this, everything like possibly going wrong. What's happening? He said, come back tomorrow and I'll have the answer to all your problems. So he told me. He said, he was very smart. Because he told me on the spot, but he waited, made me wait 24 hours. Like, what's the answer to all my problems? Maybe he has like some hidden Kabbalistic scroll with the Shem Hashem say it, you know, with this Kavana. Anyway, I come back the next day. He says, the answer to your problems is tefillah. I'll write you a special tefillah and it'll get better. And it did. It got better. In a short time, things got much better. And I asked him if I could print that tefillah in my book. He said I could. Right? It's here on page 27. And this is a book that goes through each part of tefillah, helping you daven better. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, right, who I was zocheh to have a relationship with, in Elul, Aseres Mei Tshuva, he said, the main thing we have to work on is tefillah. Right? Tefillah is our connection. What does it mean, tshuva, going back to Hashem? First of all, we have to be clean, right? Because otherwise they won't let us in. But once we've said vidui and cleaned ourselves out, we have to work on tshuva. Rabbi Revler told me from the Chavetz Chaim, 90% of his etzos were to daven. Not to do this, that, and the other. 90% were tefillah. So that's something very, very chashuv, is tefillah. And to understand the vidui, right? It's a little bit interesting. Praying with joy, how can you say praying with joy about vidui? The answer, I believe, you could say, the Vilna Gaon says, Gam below das nefesh lo tov. It's pasuk mishle, yud, prek yud, pasuk dalet. He says, if you don't understand what you're saying, you won't enjoy it. But if you understand the depth, you enjoy it. I believe if you go through the video, you could look at what I wrote, but you don't have to accept what I wrote. Look, think about it yourself. The idea is, the concept is, that you're coming not just to admit your transgression, but try to find the shorish of it. You know, try to find the root. Where is it coming from? What makes me do that? What's motivating? What's driving me? It's a hard thing. And the Bali Musha say, the ruts and rishon, you know, your initial, it's very, very hard to identify it. But as my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Tzvi Kruzhelevsky, always says, he says, the emes is very simple. It's just hard to find it. It was like this chain this morning. I'm like, I'm chained inside this house. I can't get out. What's going on? I down to Hashem. And then I saw like this little strip and you just slip it through and get out. Once you know what the right thing to do is, it's very easy. But it's hard to find the right thing. And Adam Gola once told me, Rabbi Shmuel Stanton said, it's harder to change one mida than finish shas. He said, it's not so hard to change a mida. It's hard to decide to do it. Once you decide it, it's easy. It's like this. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a smoker. He read one time on the street a sign that smoking is dangerous. He took his cigarettes and never smoked again. Because it was clear to him, right? If we did the same thing with our veras, we would never speak Lashon Hara again. We would never make a bracha quickly. You know, we say, there's, you know, making a bracha quickly without kavana, without shem Hashem, amein chatufa, amein chatufa. All of these things that we do, right? If we really understood what was really going on and we internalized it, we're all in such a big rush, right? We're in such a big rush that life becomes like a very big rush. So what I'm suggesting is take a little bit of time, a few minutes before Yom Kippur, look through the vidui in this little pamphlet which I printed out. There's even space to write your own haras. And think about it. The Bali must say pick one area especially. And say, like, I really want to work on this area. I want to find something which I could do. A small thing, yeah? A small thing to try to ruin. By the way, since we're out of time, so I guess I'm going to finish up. We send out an email every week of Shilas to Gedolim. I'm zochet to be kosher to many of the Gedolim areas of Israel. And I write an article for the Yated Ne'eman in America. So we send out the, people can send me Shilas. A lot of people here in England, I get Shilas pretty often. And I also do a video every day about thanking Hashem when things look bad. Right? I did already 1,500 shirim. I'm thanking Hashem when things look bad because it's about seeing good. If you can see the good in everything. So I'm sending this little notebook around. Whoever wants to get this email, you could sign up. I'll start over here if you wish. And you don't have to, but if you want to. And I have this book, and I have a book also here, Days of Majesty, which is about... Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot and Shabbos. And I'm also on a Rosh Kol. I have a group of Avrichim. We're trying to train Poskim for Klal Yisrael. My Rav Talmidim just came to join here in London, Ilan Sasha's community as a Rav. And if you want to contribute, our Achi Semach number is 8650, if that's what, or whatever you want. The main thing I want today is just take a little bit of time. Think about the vidui. Go through it. Try to look inside yourself. Because without that, it's not tshuva. Right? You can't come back to Hashem if it's just... One of the averes we say is vidui peh. Vidui peh means it didn't go farther than here. Right? It has to go here. And the only way it can go here is you have to think about it and try to find the root of where it's really coming from. And if you do that, then you'll feel so good. Right? Because once you... understand that it's not... I showed to somebody once in Yom Kippur. Mesil Shasham writes at the end of Nikias, it's not so hard to stop doing Averis. Right? We don't think. And we do things, and we do it out of habit and rote. But if you really think about how important it is to do mitzvahs, and how terrible it is to do Averis, and you find like little things are causing you to do things. Right? Just not thinking. It's not so hard to stop and think for a minute. Or even 5 seconds, or 3 seconds. Yeah? So... whoever would like this, you know, it's outside. I have my bag. There's a blue bag outside. Can someone bring it in for me? It's a blue travel bag. I have some copies of this Kuntres, and my book, Praying with Joy and Days of Majesties. And I wish everybody a Gemara Chasima Teva, and she continue to start the day the Torah way. Rav Hashem, Ketavshin, Pei Dalid, Kein Yeretzio.
Close? You just put, if you want to receive his messages,
Sure.